indeed verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy. And it says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But here's what it says: but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. See, and that's what Trunk or Treat is about. That's what Halloween is about. Is you know, there's all kinds of other connotations that go with this. But in essence, what happened is the world took it and tried to make something kind of evil and scary and wicked and all that kind of stuff and attach a bunch of stuff to it. But we know that originally it was connected to the church. And we know that God wants us to have things that are for our enjoyment. Now, how many of you like to dress up? How many of you dress up even when it's not Halloween and you pretend and you play? And so Halloween is a time when you can dress up. We dress up like some really cool things. Now, we choose at church, at Trunk or Treat, we choose in the church not to dress up like all those scary, ugly things and dark, gloomy things. But we dress up like all kinds of other fun things and Bible characters and all those kinds of things we have. And it's always fun to come to Trunk or Treat because you never know what's going to end up out in our parking lot. There's just all kinds of stuff out there. But at any rate, it's for enjoyment. It's fun to dress up. It's fun to pretend. And indeed, it's fun to be generous. And so we bring all our candy in. And when the world comes around, we give them a safe place that we can give out candy and be generous and share the love of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do on Thursday evening. So hopefully you'll come by Trunk or Treat. Maybe you'll even be here with your mom and dad's trunk, and we'll be handing out candy to people. We'll give you some candy, and we'll have a lot of enjoyment, and we'll be generous with everybody who comes around, just like the Scripture tells us to do. The other thing is, though, is that on Saturday evening, we're going to gather here, and we're going to begin with time of prayer and time of fellowship, and then on Sunday morning, we have a special speaker, and his wife plays the piano, and he plays the trumpet, and he preaches really good. We're going to have an exciting time Saturday through the next Wednesday, and I just wanted to read a verse of Scripture to you in Acts chapter 3, and verse 19, it reads like this. It says this: repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. How many of you have ever played really hard and got really hot and sweaty and stinky? And how great is it when you come in on those hot summer days and mom has like lemonade or Kool-Aid or ice cream or something really cool that makes you feel so much better. And then you take like a shower or a bath and you feel so refreshed. You remember that feeling? That's good, isn't it? Well, that's what revival's about. Revival's about coming to church for those consecutive services. And sometimes people say, oh, how can I go to church so many times in a row? It's just, I got so much to do. But it's a time of refreshing. And in all the things that happen in the world, we get kind of worn out and sometimes we get distant from God and things. And revival is a time to make us feel fresh and new, and there'll be exciting things that'll happen. And so I hope that you'll plan to come with mom and dad to revival services, because there'll be exciting, fun things there that Brother Larry and Sister Tamla are going to have for everyone of all ages. And so it'll be a great time. So it's going to be a great week. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be busy, kind of hectic. But we're going to have a great time in the Lord, because we're going to be generous and give away candy, and we're going to have fun. We're going to dress up and all kinds of things. And then we're going to get that refreshing from the Lord in revival services. And so I hope you'll come and be with us, okay? All right. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Brett. For our mission moment today, I wanted to share, this is our missionaries, the Dooleys. We've had them here several times. They're missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and I wanted that picture up there to refresh your memory, because what I want to share with you this morning is a prayer request that came out again this week for them. I'm trying to remember when it was. This has been an ongoing project for several years, but they are in the process. This is at the hospital there in Papua New Guinea. They have been working on a project for a hydro something or other. Anyway, something to do with their water and electricity. It's like a power plant type thing. I'm trying to think. I didn't write that word down. I should have. A hydro project, anyway, is what I'm going to call it. Anyway, this week They've had lots and lots of issues through the years in trying to get this together, and it's just about to be done. But this week, their hospital had to be temporarily closed because of problems with the people, a group of people who had given them problems in the past over this issue. They had problems with land issues and ownership and purchase and all kinds of other things. And so the hospital was temporarily closed. And then four men who had previously caused them problems were arrested for stealing from the project. And then they were released shortly thereafter and started causing more problems and threatening serious things to the hospital and to the people. And so they had quite an issue, but the community there in Papua New Guinea, QGIP, where this hospital is located, gathered around and decided they weren't going to let individuals like that shut their hospital. And so they were requesting prayer this week, you know, to keep the hospital open, remember them as they're finalizing all this hydro project, and it's going to be a great benefit to the hospital and the buildings they have on their property there. They are thankful for the support the people have rallied for them through all of that, and God is using them in lots of ministries besides just the hospital. So if you remember the Dooleys this week, or Papua New Guinea, or the QGIP hospital, whatever it is, I know they would greatly appreciate it because they've had some troubling issues through this whole process and recently resurfaced again.
Well, it never ceases to be in the kingdom of God, there are always opportunities to invest. And there are many activities, whether it's mission activity or whether it's things going on within the local church or investing in needs for others, always things and opportunity to do. And so a lot of the way we do that is through the support of our tithes and offerings in the church. And so if our ushers will come this morning, we want to receive our tithes and offerings. We want to be remembering Pastor Don and Ruth, as indeed they are away with their daughter this week, trying to give help and encouragement there. And Pastor Jill should be flying back in maybe even today, I think, sometime or this week, as she's been away with her mom after the loss of her father this past year, and her mom and sisters were together this week. So we pray that they have had an opportunity to be an encouragement to their families, and indeed we look forward to being able to be back in fellowship with them together again. We also remind you that that revival will be upon us, and we have chosen through the board and things not to do a capital funds campaign this year. We just wanted to incorporate revival into the regular budget. And so if indeed God blesses you and you have something that you want to do specifically for revival, you can give that or earmark it at any time given the revival services. We indeed are running a little behind our projected income, and so it will be a great help if you're able to do that. So thank you so much for your obedient responses and the giving of your tithes and your offerings for the work in the ministry of the church. Brother John Lewis, if you would come and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning and receive my tithe.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of being here, for your watch care over us. Take this offering, break it, give wisdom in the use of it. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the praise. Amen. Thank you.
In just a minute. What more could you ask for? There are all kinds of things that go on in our lives, and what we want is to be in the presence of God. When we come to church, we want to find maybe that thing that we think we've not been able to find in the course of our everyday lives or in our homes. Or maybe you've had one of those weeks where standing over the dishes, all of a sudden the Lord came in a special way. Or driving down the highway in the car, a song came on. There's nothing any better than when God makes His presence known. It's all any of us can ask for. Lord, help us to be in the center of Your will. Help us to know that we're sensing Your affirmation. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, there are many things that we continue to remember that are listed within our bulletin. We want to be certainly in prayer for our revival services. Some of you will remember Greg Barnhart, who was part of our church family for a few years back. Brother Greg passed away this week. And so pray for the Barnhart family. Wayne and Betty are part of the congregation at Springfield First. And indeed, we've had the privilege of doing both of their boys' weddings. And now there will be a daughter that won't have her father to walk her down the aisle. So just remember the Barnhart family in your prayers. Continue to pray one for another. Thankful for the work that God has been doing in our people's lives. People recovering from surgery. Continuing to deal with health issues of many kinds. We know that that they're... Or several of you who've been dealing with some back issues, these sciatic nerve issues, are dealing. Two or three of our people had some really severe issues with that, and just a lot of stuff that's that indeed is going on. And so continue to pray one for another. Pray for Trunk or Treat. It may not be a big deal to some people, but to those kids who have a safe place to come, for those parents who know that that there's a place where their kids can come and enjoy that particular occasion, and it's a safe issue. You know, my prayer is, they used to say, you know, this used to be a big deal about music, and, you know, how people would be incantations and all kinds of thing over rock music when it would go out, and how the devil was supposed to go out with that. Well, that, you know, let's just beat him at his own game, okay? Just pray for God's anointing to be on every piece of candy. You know, pray for God's anointing to be part of whatever is given out. That a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That somewhere, something in one of these situations from one of our churches that's hosting these trunk or treats, that people will say, you know, God cares about me. That there will be a child somewhere that thinks about God that maybe their parents don't talk to them about God. And that seed will be planted. Everything we do is for the purpose of reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ to our community. May God help us to share His love. May His anointing be a part of everything. And indeed, in your bulletin, you have, again, on the back of your guest sign up is a list of dates that are going all the way through the end of the year. Special services, things that are happening, opportunities to reach out to our community, opportunities to celebrate here in our own congregation. And we encourage you to make a place on your calendar for these special events and dates and to be a part of as many as you can be. And may God continue just to grow His Spirit in our lives, and may we continue to reach out into our community with His love. We're going to sing this song again. It's really a great revival song, I think. What one of us couldn't use a fresh touch from God? Holy Spirit, rain down in our souls. Let's stand together as we sing. The altars are open to you this morning. If you have needed them for a place of prayer, you feel free to come. And then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Holy Spirit, rain.
Father, we're grateful to be your children. It is a privilege and an honor to call you Father. Thank you for loving this world so much that you sent your Son. Thank you for providing for us salvation from our sin. Thank you for giving to us a guidebook for life in the Bible. Thank you, Father, for pouring out your Holy Spirit. We would have a comforter, a counselor, a friend to walk alongside, to give us guidance and direction, to give us those special touches, fresh infeelings. Father, we come from so many different backgrounds, so many different histories, a lot of different environment. We may have some different philosophies about things. But Lord, I believe that everyone that is here and all that are gathered in churches across this country and the world today want a touch from God. Want to sense that they've been in your presence. Want to know that you are real. And Lord, we sense your presence here today. We thank you for these songs that you've laid on Janet's heart today.
Thank you for the talent that you've given to Janet and Matt, that they would play this music that we could sing. Thank you for the talent you've given to sing as we hear harmonies. And thank you, Father, for the joy of Jesus that we see on people's faces, emanating from their hearts and spilling out in their praise today. We are blessed. Lord, you know the task that's before us. There's a world left of lost and hurting people, and we're supposed to be a reflection of you. So, Father, help us to get it right. Father, we love you. We want to present you in such a way that the world is hungry for you. Because we believe that's how you really were in the Bible. The things that we've read, recorded history. You called sin, sin, and yet people knew that you loved them and cared about them. So Lord, help us to be able to figure out how to do that, to allow your love to flow through us. Revival times are just for those kind of things. We're running on empty a little bit. We need times of refreshing and renewal. We need a fresh infilling. We need to come face to face with the Holy God and see what you have for us. See where you want us to be. So, Father, we this morning want to continue in the preparation of our hearts to receive what you have. We pray for your blessing upon the special workers that are moving ever closer this way, the LaCrones. We pray, Father, that your presence will be real in each and every service. We pray that you'd guide us through this week, for we know that as sure as we know the devil, that there will be distractions, there will be challenges, there will be difficulties. He'll try to pull us away. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be overcomers. You said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, Father, we know the blood's been shed and provided. Help us, Father, to be able to proclaim the word by the way we live our lives. Here we are this morning, Father. We need your touch today. We need refueling. We need refreshing. Thank you for what you've done already in this service this morning, Father. Thank you for the appreciation that has been shared with us. What an honor it is to be the pastor of this place, these people. Lord, we may have physical needs today. We may have emotional needs. We have financial needs. We have spiritual needs. Lord, we know just like we sing that chorus sometimes, you're all we need. So, Father, we just yield to you this morning, ask you to take charge of our lives, be Lord and Master over us. Touch whatever area needs to be touched in our life today, as only you can. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you are worthy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thank you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I had a conversation with Bruce this morning, and he said, Pastor, I don't have a special this morning. And yet he shared with me something that I thought was pretty special. And so I've asked him to share as the special this morning, this testimony of how God has used him in the midst of a challenging situation to lead us into the word that God has for us this morning.
This is going to be tough. As some of you know, the place I've worked at for the past 40 years, they're closing their doors. And so anyway... They brought some men into the plant 3 weeks ago to start training on the equipment. And the first day that they were there, these guys were from Mexico. Very nice men. They, I kind of joked around with them a little bit, you know, and I gave one of them a particular name that over a situation, and he will go home with that name. Zipper is his name now, and it has to do with his pants being unzipped. I told him that his pants were unzipped, and he didn't understand, and so I gave him the motion that his pants were unzipped, and anyway, he just laughed. He didn't understand. Well, I guess some of his buddies told him later on that they were unzipped. And so the next day I came walking by this one machine that they were looking at, and he saw me and he went like that, you know. And the engineer that was in charge of these men, he said he wants to thank you. And so I knew what it was about, you know, and so I walked over and he shook my hand, you know, and said, thank you, you know, because I had told him something, you know, about the way he was dressed, I guess. And so we became friends immediately, you know. And so anyway, as the days went along, I had this young man that I was particularly working with on my machine. His name was Raphael. And whenever there was a point where he had... Some of his buddies were trying to get him to go to a strip joint. And he asked if I went, and I said, no, I'm Christian. I'm a Christian. And he said, me too. He wasn't going, but he's saying, I am too, I'm not going. And he had been a Christian for a little over a year. And so anyway, it was a different experience whenever they first told us that we were going to be training these men. Everybody was grumbling, you know. I don't want to do that because they're taking our jobs. The first day that I was talking to the engineer that spoke English, I said, this is hard for us. I said, I've been here 40 years, and I'm teaching you how to do my job so you can take it. So anyway, as I went ahead and as the few days went along, you know, and I was training them different things about my machine, and then there was other machines that were having problems that I was over dealing with too, and helping to get the machines running and everything. So anyway, we actually developed some very good friendships over the past 3 weeks. I think it was last Monday, the engineer came up to me again. He says, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I really don't know. I said, but I have got a deep compassion for you guys because you don't know what you're faced with. The company is going to expect perfection out of you. Out of these machines, and it's impossible. And I said, I feel sorry for you guys because of what you're going to be facing. So anyway, this one engineer, he said, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I said, it's in God's hands. And he looked at me kind of puzzled, like, what are you talking about? I said, God's in control, and whatever he wants me to do is what I'll do. And so... You know, like I said, he didn't really understand what I was saying. You know, he hadn't heard this thing of, you know, God being in control of your life and everything. And I thought, well, I've planted that seed. I don't know what will ever become of that seed. But I do know that there was a young man that I was working with as a Christian. I thought, well, maybe Raphael can show Roberto through his life that, you know, what it's all about. And so I counted a pleasure, actually, being able to work with these men these weeks. It's been tough, knowing this. We don't know the future. But anyway, we was all saying our goodbyes Thursday, and Raphael came up to me at my machine, and he shook my hand. Of course, every day and every evening when they leave or come in, you know, they shake your hand. You know, they're really big on shaking your hand. And so he came up and shook my hand and then hugged me. And I hugged him back. And there was a man that was standing back off, you know, one of the Springfield people was standing back off a little ways, and he happened to see it. And after Raphael walked off, he said, "Wow." He came up to me and said, "Wow, that could have been different as far as, you know, your response." And I said, "Well, they're human beings just like us, and they are trying to better themselves just like we try to better ourselves, you know, and they're doing what they're told." And so anyway, it was an interesting 3 weeks. I've learned to speak a lot of one-word sentences and a lot of hand gestures, trying to communicate with people that don't understand English. But my prayer was that Christ was seen through me.
Thank you, Bruce.
I wanted you to hear that, because so often we kind of go through the motions as we're preparing for revival here in these last couple, 3 weeks, and really been trying to focus. And that's the very kind of thing that can happen on a daily basis to anyone. You never know who's observing your life. You never know, exactly. You know, they say you're the only Bible that some people ever read, and there's a perfect example of that truth. And had Bruce, as sometimes the world can become embittered about the loss of job, and indeed said, "Why would I want to train somebody who's going to take my job away?" and been cantankerous or ugly or those kind of things to those men who came in, there would have been an opportunity missed to have moved the kingdom of God forward. And so I appreciate Bruce and his life and his testimony. I wanted you to hear this morning, because as we think about revival, this is one of the very things that we'll make mention of here in just a moment. But David said, you know, that if he could find renewal in his spirit, that he would in turn share that with others. And so I want you to think with me for a few moments this morning about why we need revival. I know that in our day and time, that setting aside 4 days in a row, four nights of services, can be challenging, because we get into our routines and our schedules and all those kind of things. And sometimes we just say, "Well, here's the night I have available. I'm going to go this one night." I want to beg you to make revival a priority. There's something that happens when you come consistently and consecutive. Now, I realize sometimes it just can't be done. All I'm asking you to do is do what you can do. But if you'll put forth the effort, if you'll make the investment to indeed be a part of these services, oftentimes evangelists will preach kind of in series, and so you're getting the whole thing, you know, in line along the way. And if you'll seize those opportunities, I believe that it will pay dividends, and indeed that God will reward you. I want to turn your attention to some passages in Psalms this morning and a passage in Isaiah as we think about revival and why we still have revival in the church. In Psalms chapter 80, verses 18 and 19, it reads like this: "Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." And then in Psalms 85, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." And then your attention to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." I just want to suggest to you briefly this morning that there are three things that can happen that benefit us in the process of revival. I'm not saying these things can't happen at other times as well, but I think there's a focus and there is an intentionality of these type of things in revival. And so I suggest to you this morning that first we need revival for examination. The scriptures would indicate to us that this is something that's kind of an ongoing process, that we're kind of checking where we are, and there's some kind of standard, perhaps, that we're working against. Perhaps there's someone. Sometimes we can't see, if we try to look at ourselves, we can't see ourselves exactly as we are. Sometimes we need an outside source to perhaps help us. And so I want to share some things with you here again from the psalmist in Psalms 11:4. It says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them." And then in the 26th chapter, and the second and third verses, "Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For Your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in Your truth." And then we turn over into the book of Lamentations. And we find there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." And then in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" In virtually every area of our life, there are evaluations and there are examinations. When I was a kid growing up, they used to have what they called Iowa Basic Skills. And they were a test to say, where are you at in your journey of learning? And now my son, who's a school counselor, he's got a new job down in Branson this past year, and he was thrilled because he only is counseling K through second grade, and they don't start MAP testing until grade 3. So he no longer has to do MAP testing now. And again, there's these assessments, and they spend a lot of time. There are standards that the government has decided that you need to meet, and your school can either be awarded money or things if indeed your standards are high enough, or they can shut you down in some ways if your MAP tests don't reach a certain point of aptitude. Well, the same is true, in a sense, in our spiritual life. There needs to be point of examination. And oftentimes we can't see for ourselves, we can't evaluate honestly, and so we need to come face to face with a holy God in special times so that He can speak to us and say, here is where you are, here is where I'd like you to be. Now oftentimes, how many times have you been talking to someone about maybe a myriad of things, but they'll say, well, I'm just as good as the guy down the road. I'm just as good as my neighbor. I'm just as good as my coworker. There is no place in the Scripture where examination is about you being compared horizontally to your fellow man. Examination is about, where do we stand in the face of God? How do we stand in the light of Christ? Where are we at in the standard of the Word itself? As we come to points and places and times of revival, it's a time for us to say, is there anything that perhaps I've taken back? You remember that term as a kid? You know, somebody was an Indian giver? And oftentimes we're kind of like that spiritually. We lay things down, we give God a burden that we have, but somehow we find ourselves picking that burden back up, taking that challenge back on. And indeed, instead of just leaving it in God's hands and allowing Him to work that out, we're trying to manipulate the situation, we're trying to take control. So perhaps in times of revival, it's an opportunity to see what areas in our life maybe we've picked back up, or maybe we're trying to manipulate on our own. It's a time and a place to say, have I truly surrendered every area of my life? Have I truly yielded everything? Is Jesus truly Lord and Master, not just Savior? Is there any nook or cranny that I'm holding out on? Is there any personal habit or thought that I'm hanging on to that I need to turn loose of? Is there any kind of grudge or critical spirit that I have latched onto that I need to get rid of or turn loose of? And the only way we can compare that is not horizontally to our fellow man, but vertically to God and His Word and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see His example. We read the words about His responses. Things like, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. I'm sure that you can think of times in your life where you felt like you were right up to date and in the center of God's will, and such a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And probably you can think of times in your life where you knew maybe you were running from God a little, or holding out on God a little, or you wanted to control things yourself. And you know that void, that sense of not quite being right, that's there. Maybe it's guilt sometimes. Maybe it's just a sense of not being in sync with the Holy Spirit. But you know the difference between those times of being right there in it with God or being a little off on the edge. Revival is a time to refocus. Revival is a time for us to get in and make sure that we indeed are honed in, that we're seeing things as we should properly. I will never forget the day a lot of years ago now that I got glasses. And to be quite honest, I didn't know for about 8 years that I had needed glasses. It was purely by accident watching KY3 one evening. I was sitting in my recliner, and I don't even know what prompted me to do this, but I just got to kind of looking at those yellow letters they used to use, particularly during the weather forecasts and stuff, and they looked like they had hair on them. And for some reason, I picked up this envelope that was laying on my end table, and I pushed it across my eye, and when I got about all the way across this eye and about halfway here, all of a sudden, everything came into focus. It's like, well, I didn't know they made letters that had sharp edges like that. And then it dawned on me, I probably need glasses. I need some vision correction. And indeed, I went to the eye doctor, and this was the words of affirmation that he spoke to me. How in the world did you get a driver's license? He said, you can't see. And he made corrections and gave me my first set of glasses. And I remember this was back when Kmart was still where Bass Pro Shops have got the warehouse now. And there was some kind of vision, one of those cheap vision places there. And that's where I went, because I always went to the cheap places. And got glasses and came out of there. And I could actually read road signs all the way down Sunshine Street. I didn't even know what those signs said before, because I had some vision correction. And as much as in my vanity I wanted to think I didn't need glasses, to put on these lenses made all the difference in the world of what I could see and how far I could see. And sometimes when we get into times of revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it brings us into a perspective because we're aligned with what God sees and what God wants for us. A fresh voice, somebody with a different cadence in their preaching, a different style. Somehow our attention is focused more on the Word, and God is able to get through. And truths come to our heart and mind. Indeed, we see things as we should. I believe our request this morning ought to be like that of the psalmist. In Psalms 139... Verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If that's the spirit that we go into revival with, I believe that great things can happen in the course of revival, that God indeed can help us to see where we are, show us where we ought to be, and He indeed can help us to become all that He's given us the potential to be and be walking in all the light that we have. Not only is revival, though, for examination, but I believe indeed revival is for inspiration. It's very possible and highly likely that many of you are in the center of God's will and doing exactly what God wants you to do, and you're exactly in the place and you're highly confident in your walk with God. But all of us, as we spoke about in prayer time, need fresh touches from God. There is no way that we can continually be giving out without emptying ourselves to some extent. And we need God to be doing that continuous infilling of His presence so that we indeed are filled with His Spirit. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40 where it says in verse 30 and 31, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. When I was younger, I could run faster and longer without breathing nearly as hard than I can now. Amazing how that works. But even youths grow weary. Anytime we expend energy, we need refreshment. So we need the inspiration, the restoration, and revival. I remind you that in Psalms chapter 23, in verse 3, the first portion, it says, He restores my soul. That's what God wants to do. Times of revival are for times of refreshing and restoration. Indeed, David prayed in Psalms 51 and 12, he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restoration, refreshment, renewal. These are the things that come in time of revival. Without fresh in feelings, we may grow dry and crusty. How many of you would prefer to see a picture of a beautiful springtime where the grass is green and there's a cool spring, or maybe a fall picture where the maples are like they, some of them have become very radiant in the last week in particular, brilliant reds, great colors, great reminders, or a barren desert where it's just some sand and some dust and a few little brown twigs. We want those times of refreshment. We want to be like that tree standing by the water where we won't be moved. We need inspiration, and indeed when we hear the talents and the fresh voices and those things that come in with evangelists and special speakers and special singers and those times, God enabled it to give us the inspiration that we need. I remind you that it says in Psalms 46 in verse 10, that there are times that we need to be still and to know that He is God. Sometimes revival can bring us into a stillness, a focus. And it can help us to be intent on what God is speaking to us. Instead of going from Sunday to Sunday, we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after Sunday night. And we get this concentration and this intensity where God is able to speak to us and move us in a greater measure. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. He sent them into an upper room. In a sense, he was trying to pull them away from all the distractions and all the noise of the world around them and get them into a focused place. You know, sometimes it's just some of these conferences and seminars that we go to, sometimes it's just a great thing to have some others around you who are looking for the same thing. I have thoroughly enjoyed through the year some of the prayer summits that I've attended where other ministers have come together, is kind of united in purpose in being the best that we could be as pastors and being all that God wanted us to be and enjoying God's presence. I remember probably one of the times I remember most is a pastor and leaders conference that I went to many years ago. One of my first as a younger pastor, matter of fact, and I was sitting at College Church of the Nazarene in Olathe, Kansas, and there were 300 pastors and evangelists, and they started singing and worship that night, And Can It Be? And they got to that verse that said, my chains fell off. And there were men of God raising their hands and praising the Lord, and there was such a tremendous spirit. What an inspiration that was to be in that presence, to be in that atmosphere. I remember being in that Sunday morning service with 50,000 Nazarenes in Indianapolis and singing the hymns of the church. What a time it was. It was a great time in church this morning to sing these wonderful songs. There are these times of gathering where we have other Christians around us. And indeed is a time of inspiration. And there's someone there who can challenge us with a message and with the Word of God. I remember as a young man, locker room speeches. Times of inspiration. Times of motivation. Things could be tough. Things could be down. And yet sometimes a coach could speak and something inside of you would just well up and you found new energy and you found new life and you were able to go out and perform at a completely different level than you'd performed in the first half because you were inspired. It's part of why we come to church regularly, to be inspired. But again, that different voice, that fresh message, different presentation, a new face. Sometimes those things can help us to be inspired to carry out things in the way that God would have us to. Not only do we need revival for examination and inspiration, but we need revival for mobilization. You know, David said in that passage in Psalms 51, he said that if indeed God would grant to him restore to him the joy of his salvation, that he would go out in Psalms 51, 13, and teach transgressors his way. I wanted Bruce to share that story with you this morning, because when he shared it with me, I thought, you know, that's what revival and renewal in our spirit can do. When we have a walk with God, where we're indeed seeing those things happen, there were people observing. You know, here's another guy from Springfield that's losing his job, and yet what he saw in Bruce was something that he verbally came to him and said, wow, that could have turned out different. Maybe expecting that there would not be handshakes, that there would not be hugs, that there would not be kind greetings, but that there would be animosity and there would be bitterness and there would be a distance. And given the opportunity, not only could Bruce witness to that young man, Raphael, about staying strong and not giving in to those friends of his to go to an environment where he shouldn't be, but now here's another person who's looking on, and at some point in time, if the conversation ever becomes, wow, how did you do that? Then Bruce has another opportunity to say, well, that's the love of Jesus in my life. It's the right thing to do. And only by the grace of God, by divine empowerment, can we do those kinds of things. Jesus gave us a directive in Matthew chapter 28, where he said to us to go out and make disciples. That's the direction he left for us. Go and make disciples. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Baptize them. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? We want to see new converts. How exciting it was, even in that service the other night, to have some folks who've been in the church for a while, but to know that they'd never taken a step forward in baptism. What a great thing to baptize Geraldine, 91 years of age, to baptize her daughter, and also to baptize Brad that night. And to know that before long, we'll probably have the opportunity at some time in the future to baptize the Jocelyns and the Lanes and these new young people that are coming into obedience in the Christ life. Kyle, who accepted Christ through our teen retreat and some of the time he spent with him. I promise you that Kyle did not accept Jesus Christ on Saturday night at retreat just because of the retreat. It had to do with people inviting him. It had to do with people loving him when he came into this church. It had to do with people accepting him and making him feel like a part that made him say, hey, this is a good thing. I want to be a part of this instead of what I was a part of. It's a multiple chain of things that come together where God is able to do the work. And hopefully we'll get a baptized Kyle one of these days before long. That's what Jesus said. Go make disciples, teach them, and baptize them. That's one of the things that comes out of revival. There's a renewal. There's an excitement. There's a refreshment. And out of that fresh energy, there's a spillover that goes on. And God said that was one of the very things that he would do when he empowers us. And we, you know, Jesus had told those disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem. And in verse 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. The empowerment is to witness. The empowerment is to teach transgressors your ways. The empowerment is to seek the lost. The empowerment is to live out a testimony in difficult situations and circumstances, to be an example, to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, the world comes to know him. Revival creates mobilization. It indeed creates in us a correct response to the voice of God. I remind you this morning of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah had the vision the cherubims would come to him. And verse 6 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. I don't know what task God has for you. I don't know what it is that he wants to accomplish through you, but I promise you he's equipped you and prepared you already. And that oftentimes we need revival for us to get to the point in place where we surrender and yield and say, Lord, here am I, send me. How many of you can remember messages at a youth camp somewhere where you were inspired? How many of you can remember revival services? You know, we last Sunday night, when the small groups were meeting and our group met here at the church, we had some interaction between the teens and the older folk that were here, and indeed the adults that were here. Probably 80% of the adults that were with us that night said they came to find Jesus Christ as a result of a revival. It's one of the ways. It's one of the ways. We don't want to do away. There are people who are saying the day and the time of revival is past. We don't have time for revival anymore. We don't need revival. We got seminars and workshops and we got other stuff going on and we have special. Let me tell you, friend, I don't believe that. The scripture itself speaks to the issue of the need for reviving our souls. And I believe that revival with God-called evangelists are still an important part of the church. It's an important time in our life. And I am pleading with you. I am begging you. I am asking you to pray and prepare your heart. I'm asking you to plan Saturday night at 6 o'clock to come and to fellowship and to be here for a time of prayer and meet the workers and get us past that introductory period so that Sunday morning when we come into this service that you will have invited folks and people will come and that we will be ready to receive what God has for us and we won't have to tell stories about how many kids we have and where we came from and how many miles we drove and take up the time that God needs on Sunday morning to speak to people's souls about their spiritual condition, that we indeed will be prayed up and prepared for revival. Come Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Come and have a great time. Come Sunday morning. Come Sunday night. Come Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday. I know it's going to require some sacrifice. But I believe that it will pay dividends. And I believe that it can change our individual lives. And when our individual lives are changed, it changes the corporate life of the church. We need revival for examination. We need revival for inspiration, and we need revival for mobilization to go out and to do the work that God has called us to do. Will you stand with me this morning? In these closing moments, would you just open your heart and mind and let God speak to you? Would you just be willing to say to God this morning, Lord, what do you want to do for me in revival? Lord, what do you want to do in me in revival? And then, Lord, what do you want to do through me in revival? Will you be an active participant? Will you invest yourself in this revival in whatever way God asks you to do? Let it be more than some scheduled services. Let it be more than something that I'll do if I don't have something else to do already. Make a commitment. Invest yourself in revival. Invest yourself in allowing the Holy Spirit to examine you, to inspire you, and to mobilize you into whatever tasks He has for you, to move His church forward, put His message out in the world. Lord, what do you want to do in us? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to come in and to have the light of that word shine upon us. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed help us to find out where we're at and where we need to be. Lord, we are inspired this morning by Bruce's testimony. Just living out the Jesus life. But someone was watching, and it made a difference, not only for Raphael, but for this observer. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to make a difference in our world. And we believe revival is just one of the many ways that you can indeed build us up and help us to be what you want us to be. So, Lord, help us to make the commitment to be a part of revival this morning. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. And all God's people said, amen.